The Seventh-day Adventist Church, not Babylon. Banks Terrace, Wellington, New Zealand, June 12, 1893. Those that have published the Loud Cry tract have not consulted me upon the subject. They have quoted largely from my writings and put their own construction upon them. They claim to have a special message from God to pronounce the Seventh-day Adventist Church Babylon, proclaim her fall, and call the people of God out of her, and try to make the testimonies substantiate their theory. These publications are misleading minds and increasing the prejudice that we cannot get access to present the message God has given in warnings to the world of altogether a different character than the ideas presented in these pamphlets. I arose at 2:30. I could not sleep. The burden was upon me. The history of the children of Israel urged itself upon my mind, and many points were so clearly pressed upon me that I dared not keep silent. I wrote 23 pages between 3:00 and 12:30. My spirit was stirred within me. I felt a burden for the people of God, not only on account of this one production, but for many of such matters which are coming to the people, claiming to be messages from God. By their fruits ye shall know them. Matthew 7, verse 20. A number of these pamphlets came to the post office, with instruction to the postmaster to hand them to Seventh-day Adventists. The people of Wellington are full of prejudice. The circulation of Canwright's falsehoods has created prejudice, and it is next to impossible to reach the people, and everything of this character creates the suspicion that we are working under cover. These pamphlets and telegraph dispatches from Brother Caldwell are of a character to confirm their suspicions. All these things are closing the doors of the people against us. The way is being hedged up by just such things. These men that think they are doing God's service are working on the enemy's side, not on God's side. Yesterday, I sent 23 pages of manuscript to be prepared to come before the people. Prior to this, I sent a number of pages treating on the same subject. It will not be to go in this month's mail. A little leaven of false doctrine, under the inspiration of satanic agencies, may work much harm to these who are not rooted and grounded and unmovable in present truth. No one can be safe now unless riveted to the eternal rock. We have every reason to be grateful and trustful in God. The Lord Jesus knoweth them that are His. He died to save a lost world, and He is gathering out from it an army to serve under His banner. And He will present to Himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. I understood that both these men were at the General Conference, that is, Stanton and Caldwell. Could they not discern there the revealings of the Spirit of God? Could they not see that God was opening the windows of heaven and pouring them out a blessing? Why was this? Testimonies had been given correcting and counseling the church, and many had made a practical application of the message to the Laodicean church and were confessing their sins and repenting in contrition of soul. They were hearing the voice of Jesus, the heavenly merchantman. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Revelation 3, verse 20. These brethren had the very same work of repentance and confession to do, thus clearing the rubbish from the door of their own hearts and opening the door of their hearts to welcome the heavenly guest. Had they placed themselves in the channel of light, they would have received the most precious blessings from heaven. They would have seen that the Lord was indeed gracious, manifesting Himself to His people, and that the Son of Righteousness had risen upon them. This was precious merchandising actively carried on. The counsel of Christ to the Laodicean church was being acted upon, and all who were feeling their poverty were buying gold, faith and love, white raiment, the righteousness of Christ, and eye salve, true spiritual discernment. Why did not these brethren fall into line and place themselves in the channel of light? They were poverty-stricken and knew it not. They were not working in Christ's lines, were not softened and subdued by His Holy Spirit, and were so blinded that they could not see the strong beams of light that were coming from the throne of God upon His people. They heard not the voice of the true shepherd. They were listening to the voice of a stranger. When I consider the infirmities of these misled brethren, I feel deep sorrow of heart that they did not plead with God. Bless me, O God, bless! Now I see my error. thou art communicating to thy people the richest truths ever committed to mortals. These people are not Babylon, for thou hast given to them righteousness and peace and thy joy, that their joy may be full. Oh, why did they not open the door of their heart to Jesus? Why not have removed right there all that obstructs the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness, that they might shine to the world? While God's blessing was penetrating everywhere, while His presence was consecrating and sanctifying souls unto Himself, why did they not place their souls in the channel of light? It was because Satan had cast his hellish shadow athwart their pathway to obstruct every ray of light. How could they come from that meeting when the power of God was revealed in so marked a manner and proclaim that the loud cry was that the commandment-keeping people were Babylon? Satan was saying that same thing to Christ when Joshua stood before the angel. Satan was declaring his sins to be so great that he should not be restrained from destroying him. The words of Christ are applicable to these brethren, and to all who shall advance similar sentiments. The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. Zechariah 3, verse 2, 3. Who clothed him with filthy garments? And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I said, Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head, and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord proclaimed unto Joshua, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, If thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Verses 4-7. The work of Satan is to cover the repentant, believing, commandment-keeping people of God with defiling garments. What have our brethren Stanton and Caldwell been doing? If they had been commissioned of God to do this work, they would not need to appropriate the writings of Sister White without consulting her or saying a word to her. If they have so large confidence in the work the Lord has given her to do, why did they not advise with her and see if this wonderful message was in accordance with the instruction given her of the Lord? Why did they not have wisdom to work in the right way? But this is a spurious message, of the same character of similar messages that men have claimed to have of the Lord. It is not as the bright shining of a candle lighted from the divine altar. When the Lord gives His people light, it is light. It is not darkness and error, leading directly away from the true light which God has sent to strengthen and bless and give hope to His people. These men had no right to appropriate the Lord's goods entrusted to His humble servant to trade upon and improve by trading upon them, and to place them in the framework of their errors, making it appear to all who shall read these productions that it is the voice of God from heaven giving the loud cry, that the church, His chosen people, who are keeping His commandments, are Babylon, and His people are called to come out of her. I have no such message to give, but one of an entirely different character. My work is to seek to save lost, perishing souls, and to teach them as did Paul, who says, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shewed you, and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Acts 20, verse 20, 21, 26-29. Now He brings before them another class. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember, that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Verses 30-31. In all ages of the world, there have been men who think they have a work to do for the Lord, and show no respect for those whom the Lord has been using. They do not make right applications of Scripture. They wrest the Scriptures to sustain their own ideas. Whatever may be the claims of those who draw away from the body to proclaim theories of their own invention, they are in Satan's service, to get up some new device to divert souls from the truth for this time. Beware of those that arise with a great burden to denounce the church. The chosen ones who are standing and breasting the storm of opposition from the world, and are uplifting the downtrodden commandments of God to exalt them as holy and honorable, are indeed the light of the world. How dare mortal man pass his judgment upon them and call the church a harlot, Babylon, a den of thieves, a cage of every unclean and hateful bird, the habitation of devils, making the nations drunk with the wine of her fornication, confederating with the kings and great men of the earth, waxing rich through the abundance of her delicacies, and proclaiming that her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Is this the message we have to bear to Seventh-day Adventists? I tell you, no. God has given no man any such message. Let these men humble their hearts before God, and in true contrition repent that they have even for a time stood by the side of the accuser of the brethren, who accused them before God day and night. We are sorry to be compelled to leave the work of preparing manuscript for the life of Christ. It seems almost impossible that anyone who had a genuine experience in the faith should suggest such erroneous applications of Scripture as applicable to God's commandment-keeping people. Supposing this spurious message is the one everyone must hear for this time, "Come out of her, my people." Revelation 18, verse 4. Where shall we go to? Where shall we find the purity, goodness, and holiness where we shall be secure? Where is the fold where no wolves will enter? I tell you, my brethren, the Lord has an organized body through whom he will work. There may be more than a score of Judases among them. There may be a rash Peter who will, under circumstances of trial, deny his Lord. There may be persons represented by John whom Jesus loved, but he may have a zeal that would destroy men's lives by calling down from heaven fire upon them to revenge an insult to Christ and to the truth. But the great teacher seeks to give lessons of instruction to correct these existing evils. He is doing the same today with his church. He is pointing out their dangers. He is presenting before them the Laodicean message. He shows them that all selfishness, all pride, all self-exaltation, all unbelief and prejudice, which is cherished, which leads to the resistance of truth and turns away from the true light, is dangerous. And unless repented of, they will be left in darkness, as was the Jewish nation. Let every soul now seek to answer the prayer of Christ. Let every soul echo that prayer in mind, in petitions, in exhortations, that they all may be one as Christ is one with the Father, and work to this end. In the place of turning the weapons of warfare within our own ranks, let them be turned against the enemies of God and the truth. Echo the prayer of Christ with your whole heart. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. John 17, verse 11 and 15. He then offers his prayer to interpret the process through which his followers are sanctified. Sanctify them through thy truth. Verse 17. The door of the heart must be opened to the Holy Spirit, for this is the sanctifier, and the truth is the medium. There must be an acceptance of the truth as it is in Jesus. This is the only genuine sanctification. Thy word is truth. Verse 17. O, read the prayer of Christ for unity. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Verse 11. The prayer of Christ is not only for those who are now his disciples, but for all those who shall believe on Christ through the words of his disciples, even to the end of the world. Jesus was just about to yield up his life to bring life and immortality to light. Christ, amid his sufferings, and being daily rejected of men, looks down the lines 2,000 years to his church, which would be in existence in the last days, before the close of this earth's history. The Lord has had a church from that day, through all the changing scenes of time, to the present period, 1893. The Bible sets before us a model church. They are to be in unity with each other and with God. When believers are united to Christ, the living vine, the result is that they are one with Christ, full of sympathy and tenderness and love. When anyone is drawing apart from the organized body of God's commandment-keeping people, they begin to weigh the church and begin to pronounce judgment against them. Then you may know that God is not leading them. They are on the wrong track. Constantly, men and women are arising who become restless and uneasy, who want to set up some new contrivance, to do some wonderful thing. God has given to every man his work. There are opportunities and privileges in the church to help those who are ready to die, and to inspire the church with zeal, but not to tear the church to pieces. There are plenty of opportunities in the church to walk in Christ's lines. If the heart is full of zeal to press on to a deeper sanctification and holiness, then work in that line in all humbleness and devotedness. The church needs freshness and the inspiration of men who breathe in the very atmosphere of heaven to vitalize the church, notwithstanding the tares are among the wheat. If good men and humble men will take up their duty just where it is, to help those who are ready to die, they will be a great blessing to the church. There are unconverted men in the church, and if those who are so longing to show their zeal for the Lord will seek these poor souls and work with patience and perseverance to win them to Jesus, God would work with them. Ye are laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. Not to tear down and destroy, but to restore. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Hebrews 12, verse 13. There is an abundance of work that is needed to be done in home missions and in exercising the talents God has given us for wise improvement. We may become skillful as a tradesman in his business by practice. We want to become skillful in the trade of working to bless souls, learning to save souls. This requires prayer and earnest, persevering effort, and a willingness to work in a humble way. If the money that has been needlessly expended in the doing of works that God has not sent men to do at all had been employed economically in ways that are simple and safe for the progress and upbuilding of Christ's kingdom in the world, instead of helping Satan to cast upon the kingdom of Christ reproach and clothing his church with filthy garments as Satan is doing, and urging them into false positions by using the reproofs and corrections that God has given them to show them their sin, what a great work would have been laid upon the foundation. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12, 13. I would caution all believers to learn to maintain a godly jealousy over yourselves, lest Satan shall steal your heart away from God, and you slip unconsciously into work in Satan's lines, and not perceive that you have changed leaders and be in the treacherous power of a tyrant. We are as a church to be wide awake, and to work for the erring among us, as laborers together with God. We are furnished with spiritual weapons, mighty to the pulling down of the fortress of the enemy. We are not to hurl the thunderbolts against the Church of Christ militant, for Satan is doing all on this line he possibly can, and you who claim to be the remnant people of God had better not be found helping him, denouncing, accusing, and condemning. Seek to restore, not to tear down and destroy.